Today on Real Radio.
If God has placed these attributes within the human heart to believe and to search for hope, and it's intrinsic to every human soul, then we know this: according to the Bible, Jesus is the only answer for every man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. Now, because there are so many misconceptions of what it means to be a Christian, Pastor Jack is explaining the foundations of our faith in this lesson of this series. It's simply called What If? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What do you believe? What is your determination? Everybody has this belief driving in their heart. It's what is intrinsic to humanity. Where would this attribute arise from if God did not create us? God did create us. And this passion to believe, it's placed within man's very soul. The attribute, where has it arisen from? If we believe, and everybody does, where has it come from is the question we're asking. We would love to ask the evolutionist, where does this passion to believe come from? Why is it in every culture there is this desire to believe? Well, man needs to believe. This is a good witnessing tool. When you're sharing with somebody, ask them, what do you believe in? When you tell them, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, they'll go, oh, what a fool you are. Well, wait a minute, my friend, before you laugh too loud at me, wait, what is it that you believe in? Again, they cannot say nothing, because if you continue to probe, you will find something. Usually they'll say nothing because deep down inside, because it's the witness of the Holy Spirit against them, they know that what they believe in is absolutely ridiculous. I believe in little green men that have come from Mars, and they're, you know, all this stuff, and a lot of people are believing, you know, the signs in the heavens and the things and the this, and this is the deal, or whatever it might be. They believe. But the question is, where did it come from, this passion to believe? What about this? Why would mankind need hope? Hope. Belief, hope, and faith are intrinsic to the human soul. So listen, the question is, why would mankind need hope? Why does mankind have a need to believe? Why does mankind have this desire for hope? Why is hope so important to you? Why is it so important to me? I'll never forget it, and you've heard it in messages before. It's so very important, but we've been told by so many leaders that when a person loses hope, they die that fast. Did you know that? When a person loses hope, they die that quick. A person can flounder in their belief. A person's faith can be on the ropes. But when a person loses hope, when all hope is lost, you follow through with suicide. That's what they talk about. When all hope is lost, a person dies that fast. Why? Because that's when they pull the trigger. Hope is gone. To have hope gone is to believe that there's no rescuing for me. Why is hope so intrinsic in the human heart? Isn't it amazing that the human heart will search for hope? Search. I'm a history nut, and I was watching the History Channel. I love that channel. And I don't remember the ship. It was during World War II, but the ship went down, and these men, over 200 of them were in the water. You heard this, right? You saw this recently? And these 200 sailors were hanging on together, and the sharks began to circle in the South Pacific. And those men who were on the outer ring of that 200-plus people circle, they were getting eaten away by sharks. For a week, these men were in the water with their life jackets, and they said the water was red. And the sharks just ate and ate and ate and ate for a week, working and picking off those that were on the outer fringe of the circle. And they said there were torsos upside down, bobbing around. They had arms gone. It was horrible. And the men who survived, as they were retelling the story, were weeping. And they were talking about how in a week, their 21, 22-year-old hair, black, brown, blonde, curly, straight, turned white in a week from stress. And the men talked about hope. They said, we hoped that help would come, then the sun would go down, then the sun would come up. One day gone, how long are we going to be out here? And with every day, this one man talked about diminishing hope. That man, though, was an old man now, speaking on the History Channel. He survived. But he said, you know what? We nearly lost all hope. The tragic thing is, the men who were closest to the outside of the circle, consumed. If somebody's consumed right in front of you, can you imagine the temptation to lose hope? You feel your friend tugged away from you by the jaws of a shark, and you're on the outer ring now, and your life literally becomes a bumper to fill the belly of a shark until you're gone, you know? You're just a bumper. And you lose hope. Well, people lose hope in bedrooms, in hotel rooms, at work, and they put a gun in their head. Why? As we look to what Christians believe in this series, we need to be asking the questions of those friends that are around us, maybe non-believers certainly. Why do you want hope? Why do you long for hope? Every person longs for hope. And the question is, why is that within us? Because God placed it there. We long for hope. We'll do anything and we'll hang on. Even if it's a week in bloody water, we'll hang on and we hope. Man, there's a powerful thing in hope. Remember this. It was a study done by the University of San Francisco so long ago now, some 20 years ago. It's still so powerful. They took the wharf rat that is found on the Oakland and San Francisco Bay ships and vessels and all the boxes and crates and junk that these little wharf rats are running around, and they did a study. And they took these wharf rats and they put them in an aquarium, and they began to flood them with water, and they began to drown. The little rats began to drown, and just before they drown, they scoop them up. And they blow dry them, feed them, getting all dry, make them feel all good. And they come back the next day, and they take the rat, and they throw them in the thing again, and they put water in there, and they got a stopwatch going. And the little meter's running, and the first time they threw him in, he lasted like 10 minutes before he gave up, treading water. They put him in the second time, they start the clock, and they're flooding that little rat with water, and he lasted 15 minutes. Pulled him out, dried him off, gave him a hot dog or whatever they eat, everything, anything, and made him all happy again and brought him back the next day, and they threw that rat in the water and he hung on for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And the last study, it's pretty tragic, last study, he drowned to death, but he hung on for over 30 minutes. Now, prior to that, see, he was in the difficulty, but he was rescued. What kept him going from 10 minutes to 30 minutes? He was hoping that the guy in the white jacket would get off of his chair and scoop him out of that tank, because it happened one time, it happened a second time, it happened a third time. Oh, mister, get off your chair and scoop me up out of here. That rat had hope. Man, if a lab scientist can put hope in a rat, God can put hope in our hearts as human beings. Hope. Why would mankind need hope? We can't function without hope. Hope generates endurance in our lives. It's always, as we've been talking, we're going through, as you know, we're going through a lot of heating and air conditioning problems and sound problems and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be a process of working these things out. But you know what? We have hope. It's going to get better. And Chris was telling me during service, Jack, don't worry, this too shall pass. And a couple times I had to say, this too shall pass, this too shall pass, this too shall pass. Sometimes that's all we can do, you know that? You're hanging on for your life. Can't make the payments. Can't get the food, can't get the job, can't get the situation going. It seems like everything's stacked against you, yet you know you believe in God, and you know that he loves you, but the temptation is, God, why? It's like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. He says in his Jewishness, have you seen the movie? If you have not seen the movie, you have to see the movie. There's a scene in there when Tevye is talking to God in Fiddler on the Roof. And he says, God, I know we're the chosen people, and you love us, and you've chosen us among all the people of the world. We are your chosen people. But God, please, can you just choose somebody else for a while? And sometimes we feel like that. God, I know you love me, but wow. Can we go a little easy here, Lord? And yet he's doing that to build up endurance and hope in our lives. Why is it that the human heart, even the atheist, even the agnostic, he needs hope? She needs hope. It's intrinsic to the human existence. God put the desire for belief. God put the desire of hope. And perhaps that's what's so meaningful about relationships. They bring a sense of hope. Maybe that's why relationships can be so devastating. When you're rejected, they dash your hope. But hope is not lost. But without hope, every human being dies in an instant. Hope is gone. The prospect of being rescued flees. That's why the return of Jesus Christ, as Christians, we long for his coming, is because it is that blessed hope of being rescued. We can't wait for that. You look around in the world today, and the Bible tells us, we agree by observation as well, that mankind is lost, right? That's what the Bible says. Mankind is lost. And I want to ask you something. Is mankind, being in its lost condition, searching as it is? Question, why is it searching? Because it hasn't found anything worthy to believe in, or anyone, outside of Christ, of course, and it's losing hope. Didn't Jesus say that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear? Didn't he? They're looking for hope. They're lonely. They're lost. They have no beliefs that can rescue them. Somebody will say, I believe in myself. Well, where's that going to get you? Where have you been thus far with yourself? Well, I believe in me. You know, I don't know. Best to have someone greater and bigger than yourself. Give you a hint. Jesus is his name. But the human heart must have hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. For what is our hope, says the apostle? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul the apostle, being the awesome pastor that he was, he said, you know what our greatest passion is as leaders in the church? Is to see you before the presence of the Lord at his coming. That's our hope. It's great to have a grand hope. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. If God has placed these attributes within the human heart to believe and to search for hope, and it's intrinsic to every human soul, then we know this: according to the Bible, Jesus is the only answer for every man. That's why Jesus is the only one who rose again from the dead. That's why Jesus is the only one who, as the Bible foretold, is coming in his ministry and his death and his resurrection and his eternal state. Romans 8:17 says, since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps us for his people. And we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share in his glory. I consider that what we suffer at this present time in this world cannot be compared to all that the glory that is going to be revealed to us. All of creation waits with eager longing for God to reveal his children to the world. For creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. Yet there is hope. And he goes on to speak about the resurrection power and the hope that's in Christ. Sin brought creation in the sense of hopelessness. But God intervenes. Look at Adam and Eve. They go from a sinless state. Isn't it bizarre to think that Adam and Eve, they were pure human, but they were sinless at one time. Sinless. When they sinned, look what God did. What was God's next act? The Bible says that he made for them skins from an animal to cover their nakedness. I mean, wouldn't you have just said, look, what did you guys do? I can't believe you guys sinned against me like this. What were you thinking? I'm not going to kill some innocent animal so you can walk around here in your mink coat or whatever you're going to be wearing. I'm not going to do that. Take the life of some innocent animal because you ate some tree I told you not to eat on. He didn't do that. God says, Adam, where are you? A lament for Adam's soul, no doubt. But then God provides again. And I wonder, as God provided for Adam and Eve, I wonder what that told them. I wonder what that spoke to them about the volume of hope that God has promised to those who trust in him. Well, what if faith is intrinsic to our humanity? And it is. Every human being has faith and lives to express it. Faith in something. Every human being has faith. But what's your faith in? See, as Christians, as we go through this series, we're going to be challenged. The Bible says that I'm to believe this. Is this what I believe, and is this what my faith is upon? How do you know, how do I know, how do we know that we have faith, for example, saving faith? Faith to trust God at what he says. Faith when everything's blinded, and yet we still hang on to God because, quite frankly, the definition again simply of faith is what you've placed your security, you've placed your existence, your security, your person into an object or a person. Your faith is in something. Belief is tremendous. Watch this, though. Belief is tremendous, yes. And every person has a belief system, a belief object, hope. We search for it. We have to have that. But faith. You see, you mention faith and people automatically, instantly think of religious context. And that's normal. And I think that's even appropriate because, again, even the most atheistic person, they will have faith in something. They may have faith in what they consider their intellectual prowess, you know. I have a master's in this, a PhD in that. I'm a doctor. I'm a this. I'm a that. And you know, wow. Wow. And he may scoff at faith.
Oh, yes, faith. That's for those, you know, stupid,
lemming-like Christians. But I guarantee you, he has faith. But see, here's the thing: as for the Christian, belief. Yes, hope is what we're searching for, but hope will never be gotten until faith takes us there. Church, are you with me? Listen to this. If I'm going to put my faith in the stock market, then I'm going to have an up and down ride, right? If I'm going to put my faith in whatever this world offers, will it not be oscillating or will it not be volatile, no matter what it is? You can say, well, I've put my faith in and fill in the blank. I guarantee you, if your answer in the blank is not God and his righteousness or Jesus Christ and his grace, if your answer is something other, then whatever you're clinging to and putting your faith upon, it will fail. God will see to it that it fails. He loves you so much. Even, you know, Chuck Darwin believed in what he believed in and had faith in it. But, God loved him. And you got to wonder what went on in his mind in Charles Darwin's head. God loved him. But what was going on? I bet you when Darwin laid down at night and thought about how wonderful that lizard was, and it just had their spare wings someday in history past and fly away like a bird. Fanciful story. But I bet you God was right there in his mind saying, hey, Charlie, are you sure you want to go with that one? As Christians, when we share with somebody, we don't have to beat it into them. Just give them the truth in love. But everyone has that faith object. The Bible says, I'm going to give you three different versions. Listen to this carefully. It's Hebrews 11, verse 1, in three different Bible versions. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Next version. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Third version. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. That's a strong statement.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called, What If? It's the first lesson in this topical series called What Christians Believe, and if you'll stick with us, I think you're going to love every minute of it. We're just getting started, and there's a lot more to come, so join us again as we continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for another segment of Ask Pastor Jack, where you and I get to ask Pastor Jack about life, Scripture, the Christian experience, the Christian worldview, and don't forget, you can ask Pastor Jack a question on issues and teachings concerning our faith. Just email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Have you thought about doing that in the past? Why don't you do it today? Here's one from Mike, Pastor Jack. Mike says, Pastor Jack, what's your take on what the Bible teaches about repentance in relation to salvation? Is it part of salvation or is it a prerequisite of salvation?
That's an awesome question. And I'm really glad about that question because what is the first word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus? John the Baptist, of Peter, of Paul,
tell me,
of the disciples regarding the gospel? A lot of people don't know the answer to this question. If you were in seminary and you were asked that question, there's one answer and one answer only, and you don't hear it much anymore.
Okay.
The gospel is actually repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You ask a great question, Mike, because you're asking, is it part of salvation, that is the act of repentance, or is it a prerequisite? Let me answer this way. You can't receive the gospel without being convicted of your sins, but that's not all. You can be convicted, you can hear the gospel, but what brings you into the gospel is contrition of heart, or we would say metanoia in Greek, metanoia, to change your mind. We use the old term, English term, repent.
Right.
Repent means to change the direction of your boat. Frankly, it's a nautical term for sailing, 180-degree turn. So, Mike, the answer is this. When someone hears the gospel, they're convicted of their sins. They see the need of changing their mind in light of what they just heard. In repentance, they then put their faith in Christ. You mentioned the word prerequisite or part of salvation.
Right.
Look at it this way, Mike, forevermore. A baby is being born. Its head comes out first, and the rest of its body follows, okay? Repentance is, yes, a prerequisite to salvation. Mm-hmm. It is necessary for the fulfillment of the gospel, but that all comes about by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's why today, churches, pastors, evangelists, radio and television ministries, Christians witnessing must begin their message to the lost with repentance. Without repentance being preached, there is no true gospel being delivered. Thus, we could dangerously have what we would say illegitimate births in the kingdom of God. People thinking that they're saved,
right,
when they've never repented of anything because, you know, I just did an add-on module with Jesus. I'll just add him onto my life like my Costco card.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works.
You must
repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. You got a question? Send it on to us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.